The bad news is it's getting ready to hurt. The good news is you've got the opportunity to reverse it.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's no refuge for those rebelling against God.
Repentance is giving God the opportunity to reverse his judgment.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. The phrase, "you can run, but you can't hide," is never more true than when you're describing someone who's running from God. Let's join Dr. Evans now as he talks about a man who tried.
Today I want to talk about Jonah, the rebel God used. Jonah is a prophet of God, and the word came to him. Verse 2 of chapter 1, "To arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." We're looking at a rebel here, a man who didn't like what God told him to do. Has God ever said something to you to do and you ain't like it? You weren't into his request, demand, or expectation. God has asked Jonah to do something incredible. Now you have to understand why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. The Ninevites were a very violent people who showed no mercy to their enemies. They would kill you and then put your dead body on display to show their might and their bloodthirstiness. So Jonah is being real practical here. You want me to go to Nineveh? They kill people in Nineveh. You cannot want me to go there to talk to them. In fact, don't send me there to judge them. Judge them. You don't need me to tell them. I'll tell them nothing. Kill them. But the second reason he didn't go to Nineveh is that he was scared that they might get saved. And then you won't judge them, because then they're your children. And some folk you just want to get rid of. Anybody have anybody here in your life? You hope they don't get saved so you don't have to deal with them in heaven. You just don't even want them to go to heaven. You don't want to see them in heaven. The way they done messed over you on earth. Verse 4 tells us, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up." If you are in rebellion, that is refusing to do the will of God, going 2,500 miles out of God's will, then going 550 miles in it because you don't like it, expect bad weather. It's a storm. If you are a son or daughter of God and are in rebellion against God, you are a spiritual rebel, and your heavenly Father loves you too much not to come after you. But when he comes after you, things get stormy. Weather gets windy. Circumstances get shaky because you are outside of the direction God wants you to go. It says the ship is about to break up. The sailors become afraid. Now, these are professional sailors. Their job is to take cargo from Joppa to Tarshish, then take cargo from Tarshish back to Joppa. This was their living. And their living is getting ready to go on the water. Because verse 5 says, they threw their cargo off. That means they lose money. They can't take care of their family. Why? Because when you're in rebellion, you affect people associated with you. See, the sailors were in trouble because the rebel was on board. Now watch this now. So the captain, verse 6, comes to Jonah, and he has a little basic, simple question. "How is it that you are sleeping?" I don't understand this. "Get up! Call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." He said, "I was running for the presence of the Lord. The reason you're in this storm is God is tracking me down." And they want to know, How you going to do this? How you going to mess up us? Because you want to be a fool. At least if you're going to be a fool by yourself. Don't be bringing your stuff on me. Okay, you just messing up everybody because you want to be a fool. Running from God. So running from God has created a stormy situation for him and those who are in association or proximity to him. He says, well, there's a solution. Verse 12. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. I'd rather die in the sea than go to Nineveh. I so not like what God asked me to do, kill me. Then everything will be okay for you because your storm is spiritual, not meteorological. Well, the men didn't want to commit murder, so they rowed desperately, verse 13, to try to get to land. But they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. So the sinner is trying to help out the saint. That we don't want to kill you. I know you want to die. We don't want to kill you. We're going to get to land. Let's work like dogs. They work like the harder they work to get him to help, the harder God worked to keep him in the storm. It got stormier. But where it gets interesting is in verse 14. They called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, because things kept getting worse, and the sea stopped its raging. In other words, when they got rid of the sinner, or the sinning prophet, the storm changed. The men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. To put it in New Testament language, the sailors who started off praying to different gods are now praying to Jonah's God. Even in our rebellion, God can still do his work. So, Jonah's been thrown overboard because he's still in rebellion. He's going to die before he does God's will. Well, verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Don't misread that. It doesn't say God created a great fish. It says he appointed a great fish. In other words, God came to a great fish and said, I got a fool drowning over here, and I need you to go pick him up. And the fish said, yes, Lord. All right. The fish says, your will I will obey. The fish is doing what the preacher wasn't doing. He's going to submit to God because he was operating by appointment. See, that's very important to know that God controls nature. Jonah thought he was going to die. God wasn't finished with him yet. You ain't dying yet because I told you to go to Nineveh. I ain't tell you die today. Then Jonah prayed. And in chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer of repentance. It is his prayer of repentance. He says in verse 7, when I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you in your holy temple. God trapped him. Sent a whalegram after him and trapped him. Put him in a place that drove him to call on the name of the Lord. God will create a storm, put you in a compartment you can't break out of until you decide to look up and stop going down, 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 down. He forced him upwards. It was at his lowest point, trapped in a situation he couldn't get out of, that he cried unto the Lord. After he cried to the Lord, verse 10, somebody say then. See, we got a lot of thens here. Then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. Okay, follow this now. Jonah's going down to Joppa because he's catching a boat to Tarshish because he's not about to do what God says do, because what God's talking about doesn't make sense. He is throwing a spiritual temper tantrum. Anybody in here have children that throw temper tantrums? You say do this and they think as a parent you have lost your mind. And they give you all the reasons why, mama, daddy, I'm not going to do that. And so you've got to bring out the rod of correction. You got to create a little storm. But maybe some of you have had rebellious teenagers where they were not responding to the storm, so you had to up the heat until there was a response. Well, finally, he calls on the Lord, and then, watch this, his circumstance changes. He gets vomited up on dry land. There's only one piece of dry land we've run into. That's Joppa. Joppa was where he got on the boat and paid. I'm going somewhere. Joppa is where he got on the boat, paid the fare to run from the will of God, right? So if the fish is taking him back to dry land, but the Bible's going to say then he still had to go to Nineveh, guess where the fish is taking him back to? His point of disobedience. Takes him back to his point of departure to say, which way are you going today, Jonah? You going to buy another ticket to Tarshish, or have we reconsidered our position here? He vomits him up on dry land. And the only dry land has been Joppa. And he still got to decide if he's going to Nineveh. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Oh, that's good news. And the good news is God will repeat himself. Jonah, in case you missed me the first time, let me say it again. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. In other words, I'm not going to give you the rest of the information until I see which way you're going. See, a lot of us say, Lord, give me the details and then I'll let you know whether I'm going to go. God is saying, go, then I'll give you the details. So Jonah went to Nineveh, a great city. It took him 3 days to walk the city. And he began to go through the city. One day's walk and cried out, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. So he's walking around the city. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. God says, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Now that's good news and bad news. The bad news is Nineveh is going to be destroyed. The good news is you got 40 days to reverse it. God's discipline and God's judgment is bad news and good news. The bad news is it's getting ready to hurt. The good news is you've got the opportunity to reverse it. You know, that's what repentance is. Repentance is giving God the opportunity to reverse his discipline or his judgment or his spanking. If you're in rebellion against God right now and nothing has happened yet, that means time has not yet run out.
Dr. Evans will talk about how Jonah's life changed when he traded rebellion for repentance as he continues this message from his current series, It's Not Too Late. It's a look at how God uses imperfect people to carry out his perfect plan. If we hear from you by Friday, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift when you make any contribution toward Tony's ministry. Along with it, you'll get his brand new book, the perfect follow-up for our current series called Your Comeback. This special double offer runs out at the end of the week, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org or call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will pick up where he left off in today's lesson after this.
Connect with Jesus in a deeper way, not just by reading about him, but by actually experiencing him through the power of world-class teaching. The Tony Evans Training Center provides online learning in an understandable and refreshing way. Make the pages of your Bible come alive through courses covering a wide range of subjects. Isn't it time to begin a biblical adventure? We're here to guide you as you go. Just visit us at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org to receive your first month free. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
So, he goes out and preaches. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Now watch this. Verse 5. The people of Nineveh believed in God. They called a fast and put sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth and sat on ashes. He issued a proclamation and said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste the thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hand. Who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger, so we will not perish." Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We just heard in chapter 1 God say how wicked the city was, right? Then on top of that, the king talks about how violent they were. The book of Nahum talks about how violent the people are. This is the only time in the Bible, and the only time to my knowledge in human history, where a whole city gets saved at the same time. That has never, ever happened before. This is the greatest revival in human history. The people repent. The king repents. He tells the nobles to repent. And then he tells them all, make your animals repent. He said, "I want the dog on its knees. I want the cow on its knees. I want the bull on its knees. I want the animals to repent. Put the animals in sackcloth, man. We want to let God know we're serious." Who would have thought that a simple gospel message, 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed, would turn a whole city around? Guess what Jonah was running from? He was running from leading the greatest evangelistic movement in the history of mankind because he didn't like what God said do. Guess what you and I might be missing on? You and I, in rebelling against God, may be missing out on one of the greatest moves of God our lives have ever had that we don't get to see because we insist on Tarshish rather than Nineveh because we don't like what God says. Listen, when God tells you to do something you don't like, it's going to be worth the trip because he's going to pick up the tab. He would have never thought. Now, if God would have said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh because we're going to have one of the greatest revivals in the history of mankind. You're going to lead it. Your name is going to go down in history as the preacher who preached the message that delivered everybody at one time, which has never happened in human history." And Jonah could say, "Hey, I am the man." You know? But then that wouldn't have been walking by faith. Listen, God does not always explain himself in advance. In fact, he rarely does. You have to walk by faith first to see what he's up to. Jonah has issues. He's got emotional problems. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. Now, how are you going to be ticked off when a whole town gets saved? That don't even sound right. He's angry. Verse 2 explains. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Now, therefore, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." Okay, he's a fool. He's crazy. He is saying, all these people getting saved, I don't want none of them in heaven. Kill me. Kill me. This man has a death wish. He getting angry that people get saved. But you know, when I think about it, there may be some people in your life you get ticked off if they get saved. Or my life. No, if they get saved, then I got to treat them like a brother or a sister. I ain't treating them like nothing. Don't get them saved. But it also means the people who you think could never get saved could be on the verge if they heard from you. Jonah would never have thought these people would have responded. They were too evil. But you never know what God's doing on the inside while you and I are silent on the outside. That may be a cousin, a brother-in-law, a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker who's on the verge of eternity, and God has said, "Open up your mouth," and we stay silent. And they could be on the verge of turning to God. In chapter 12 of Matthew, in closing, we see these words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "We want to see a sign from you." But he said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, And yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, someone greater than Jonah is here. First of all, this proves that Jonah is a real story in the Bible because Jesus said it was. So if Jonah is not a real story, Jesus is a liar. If Jesus is a liar, he's not the Son of God. If he's not the Son of God, we don't have a Savior. If we don't have a Savior, we're going to die in our sins. The reason that Jonah is true is Jesus said it's true. We've established the Old Testament where we find the story being verified by Jesus Christ as part of the Word of God. But then he makes another closing point, and here's what he says. He says, you want a sign, and I just did a miracle. He just opened a man's eyes and helped the man who couldn't talk to talk. But they said, that ain't enough. Do something else. He said, look, you just evil. Y'all not looking for a sign. You just want another reason to reject me. But I'm going to give you one more sign. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, I'm going to be in the belly of the earth. And when Jonah came out, he brought about repentance in Nineveh. In other words, things changed when Jonah came out of the fish. When I come out of the earth, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, here's the good news for you and me. If a rebel preacher can turn Nineveh around, then sure enough, Jesus Christ can turn you around. If a rebel preacher can take evil Nineveh and make it better, sure enough, one who died and rose from the dead can take evil you and me and make us better. If Jonah could do that, as messed up psychologically as he was, how much can Jesus Christ do as psychologically balanced and sane as he is? If that Old Testament madman could do all that, then this New Testament Son of God man can do so much more. Jesus Christ can change you because Jonah could change Nineveh. And guess what? A greater than Jonah is here. Jesus Christ is here to reverse the circumstances in your life.
If you're ready for that kind of change in your life, here's Dr. Evans to talk about how it happens and doesn't happen.
You're not a Christian because you're religious or because you go to church or even because you believe in God. You're a Christian because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal sin bearer. Being religious, doing good works, that's nice, but it's not sufficient when God demands perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what God has said is he placed your sin on the cross, on the Christ, and then judge Christ for your sin. If you will go to Christ, he will take Christ's righteousness, which is perfect, and he will credit it to your account. So you will stand before God as though you've never sinned, not because you're sinless, but because you've got a sinless credit on your account. If you will receive Jesus Christ right now, if you will invite him into your life, believing that he died for you and rose for you personally, he will credit your account with perfection because he's already credited your sin onto Jesus Christ. So go to Christ right now and get this free gift of salvation that he's offering to all who come to him for it.
There's a lot more about how that process works on our website. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. Dr. Evans will lead you in prayer, and there are some free downloadable resources to get you started. In the meantime, if you'd like to get a full-length copy of today's message, which includes a lot of material we didn't have time to present on the air, it's available for download or on CD or DVD. Just check with us about the title, Jonah, the Rebel God Used, or get it as a part of Tony's current series called It's Not Too Late. Remember, this 8-CD collection is yours, along with a copy of Tony's brand new book, Your Comeback, when you support his ministry with a contribution of any size. Make the arrangements before this double offer runs out on Friday by visiting us at TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where we have resource team members standing by to help you day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Have you ever done something so out of character that you wound up wondering if it was even you? Tomorrow, Dr. Evans talks about a biblical character who did the unthinkable and about his journey from regret to restoration. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.